Let's turn to the book of Acts tonight. We are now also departing from our series on Baptist distinctives. And so if you missed it, maybe to be in 15 years we'll do it again. I don't know. But we're over Acts chapter 1. We're going to really look at a couple verses here. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received his word, verse 41, were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Then Acts chapter 5, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is. And verse 40, 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And then if you would turn to chapter number 8, and verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, a number of key verses. But we've often talked about the simplicity of New Testament Christianity. And simple is in the fact that it's not complex. Simple in that it isn't hard to figure out. Simple in the fact that it's very plain to see and to see not only what they did, it was plain and obvious what was in their heart, and was plain and obvious what God did. Well, if you ask what was in their heart, well, you say, first of all, the Bible says over and over, with one accord. With one accord. There was a unity of their hearts. There was a unity of commitment Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." So does that mean they had, let's see here. Does that mean, Caleb, they had church fellowships every Sunday night? You don't think so? Who thinks that they did have church fellowships every Sunday night? What does that word fellowship mean? Give me a synonym that starts with a P. Partnership. Very good. The word fellowship is the word that means common. Okay? Common. When we have fellowship with God, we're walking on the same ground, okay, as God through Jesus Christ. We're walking on holy ground. Here, the thing that they had in common was the Great Commission. And so, Paul, what did he say? "I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel." What was he talking about? He was talking about the funds that they had sent to him because they were with one accord committed in their partnership to get the gospel out. And so Paul was committed to get the gospel out, and the Philippians were committed to get the gospel out. And so the Philippians gave to the Apostle Paul so that he could be supported, so he could get the gospel out. And so we see this very common principle of a partnership, of the people of God being committed together. And the commitment is shared. And so isn't it amazing that really it tells us when people joined the church, they took on the partnership of the gospel. They took on the partnership of the gospel. And so they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, the partnership of the gospel. You know, I think sometimes we're so afraid of telling the people what God expects. But really, God expects that when people get baptized, they are taking on the partnership of the gospel. But if you've been saved for 20 or 30 years, you don't have to do that. I think that's somewhere in Hezekiah. It says, if you've been saved now 10 years... Now, that's right. For get baptized, you're taking on the partnership of the gospel. But if you've been saved for 10 or 15 or 20 years, or you've been a church member for 15 years, now that commitment evaporates. And you don't have to do that anymore. I think that's somewhere in Hezekiah. That the older you get, the more mature you get, or the longer you've been a church member, the longer you've been a Christian, somehow you don't have to take that partnership anymore. Somehow it evaporates. Well, obviously, I'm being facetious, but that's how it works, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, practicality. A lot of people say that, my commitment to the partnership is over. I decided that somehow there's a verse in the Bible that frees me from that partnership. So the heart of the church was the partnership. That one accord to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. Okay? And so we see that thrust of the church. Okay? Now, if you're going to get out the gospel, then what are you going to need? Power. Right? You're going to need power. All right, and now we got something that's pretty good there, because you got the power inside of you. got the power inside of you. You don't have to go to the dime store. You don't have to go to expensive store. You got the power, right? We have the power. Okay? But we do see that you have the emphasis of the need and emphasis on the Holy Spirit. We also, and of course, maybe we'll get back to that. And it's also associated with what? Prayer. Prayer. You know, if you witness to someone this week, now let's do a proposal here. Okay, now, if you had an opportunity to witness to someone this week, there's a lot of reasons you could have given a prayer request, right? I mean, you could have given a prayer request. I would think that you would give the prayer request is because you witnessed to this person, and we know that as soon as you give them the word, who is going to try to snatch it away? The devil. Okay? So, there's a big difference between the first time you visit someone and the second time. And there's many people who said, well, I think I'll come out to church next Sunday or in two Sundays, and we never see them. Why? Because now when they come into that realm, they're into a spiritual realm. And you know it as well as I do. Satan is going to use everything to hinder that. And so I think that most people would give the prayer request tonight, hey, I talked to someone and they were open, but you know what? We got to pray for them. We got to pray for them. You know, obviously God was preparing their heart, but boy, unless we pray, spiritual battle is going to be won by the wrong side. So we better pray. So we see that emphasis of prayer. Now, in the New Testament church, what was one of the things that they did a lot of? Did a lot of praying. Now, they did a lot of witnessing. They did a lot of praying. And the two go together. A lot of praying and a lot of witnessing. A lot of praying and then a lot of witnessing. The two go hand in hand. Those who don't pray and witness will find difficult soil. Those who pray and then witness will find better soil. And then they realize how much more they need to pray. So we have the early church, Acts 2. What did it say? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That's what word is the word for fellowship? What's the word for fellowship?
Partnership.
Partnership. Did you hear that, Tom? Thomas? Did you hear back there? Was it loud enough? Okay. Partnership. All right. And in breaking of bread, there's worship, and in prayers. You know, wouldn't it be great if we just decided to pray for the Lord to work? Wouldn't it be great if everybody here just decided that God would do something special in our church between now and Sunday? What do you think would happen if everybody in this church prayed for God to really show us a token of His blessing between now and Sunday? What do you think would happen? I know what would happen. God would do something. God would do something. Now, we see the spiritual battle around us. And spiritual battle around us is for us not to have that focus. The spiritual battle around us is to get so enamored with, not enamored, but so busy. And many times it's not even our choice. You know what I mean? Get so busy with life that we don't even attempt anything for God in prayer. But you know, you got to understand, God instituted the church. And there is a wonderful, wonderful possibility with the church. You know what the possibility is? The possibility of the miracles of answered prayer when there is a unity both inwardly and outwardly, a unity in prayer. Wow. Isn't it amazing how we can just get so much involved in life, we can just lose the focus. We can lose the focus. And we have this great privilege of being a part of a church. Now, I remember when I was in Campus Crusade and soul winning and trying to reach students for the Lord and trying to disciple them and all of that. And I remember I said, you know, this is impossible. One person trying to do this. This is just a full-time job for one person just to try to reach just a couple people. I said, there's got to be a better way. I didn't know anything about the church. I was in interdenominationalism. I didn't know anything about the church. It's not church is some place you go. You know, church isn't what the Bible says. But then when I got to Bible college, I learned about, first class I went to was the local church. And I realized that, hey, God has a plan. And you know what? You know, the plan is really kind of simple. Is that in God's plan, a person, it's exciting. The church is praying. You go out and the church is praying and you get the benefit of all these people praying. And so you find open hearts. Okay, and so now, not only that, but now when you witness to someone, you got all these people going to pray. Oh, you don't have to pray all by yourself. Man, just think of how long it would take you to pray for one person if you had to do all the praying, whereas you could have 125 people doing praying with you. Man, you'd have to be praying all day, right? Praying all day just to replace the prayers of 125 people. And just think about that. Now, when you got 125 people praying, you know, there's some people who are powerful prayers. And you know what? Those are the kind of people you want praying. Man, you want those kind of people praying for you. You want those kind of people praying for your converts. Man, you want them to be on your side because they got a handle on God. And in the church, there ought to be a number of them. And they're praying with you. And then besides that, you know, God has a wonderful plan. And you know what? God's plan is when a person gets saved, guess what? They start coming to church. They come to Sunday school. And they come to morning service. And they come to Wednesday night. And they come to Sunday night. And guess what? Every time they come to church and they hear the Bible, they grow and they get challenged. They get the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. How many Bible studies would you have to do to replace that? You'd have to have a lot more than just a 4 a week or 5 a week, because you know what? In the church, you got power. You got the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not just you. Now you got all these people. They're bringing them into the house of God. Oh boy, God's plan is really works. You know, as a pastor, it's been pretty obvious to me over the years. It's real simple. If someone is coming to church and They come to church 3-4 months, unsaved person, and then they after 3-4 months, you can just kind of see it. You can see it coming. You know what? And they get saved. And guess what? Usually they get really saved. And you don't have to pay them $1 million to come to prayer meeting. You don't have to pay them $1 million to come to Sunday night. You don't have to pray. You know, I mean, because they've been in the atmosphere of the Word of God and in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And they got the right definition of God, and they got the right idea of what sin is and what the gospel is. You know, the church is a tremendous place. If you're interested in being a soul winner, the church is the perfect place to be. It's God's plan. Now, tonight, we get the opportunity of praying. You know, I suppose there's some people say, well, why do we have to have prayer meeting? I mean, let's just go on over to Brook Life over there and we don't have to have prayer meeting, you know? And let's go to another Baptist church down the road and they have a nice Sunday morning service. But I don't have prayer meeting. Why do you want to waste your time? Because you know what? If you're interested in souls, which God is, and everybody that's a church member is a part of the partnership of the gospel, you say, man, I hope all these people will pray my prayer request. You ever give a prayer request and nobody prays it? What do you think about that? Does that make you happy? Does that burden your heart? But you know, when a prayer group gets together, you know, you got to have a sense in your prayer group. I hope you got a real prayer group. And I tell you, I love it when I got a real prayer group. And there's some men that I just love having in my prayer group. Because when they come to church, they come to pray. And you know that it's when your prayer group is really functioning, you know that there's going to be an answer on Sunday. You know there's going to be an answer. Because there's a unity. There's a sense of faith and a sense of a sobriety and seriousness about what God is going to do. So we have this great privilege. When you share a prayer request, I'm sure most of you are praying, oh, I just hope that they'll pray for that person. And this Amber who came a couple weeks, boy, you know, if people would pray, we might see her again. But, you know, we have to pray together. And we can pray some general prayers. And one specific general prayer is that we ought to join our hearts together to pray that God would do something. Say, well, I don't want to have to commit myself to something like that. Oh, really? You know what? It might be your relative that God does something to. It might be your friend that God's wind blows upon them because the church is praying. It might be that person that you meet at the store or your neighbor in the sovereign plan of God. It might be that person. It might be that person, that need in your own life that has been hindering you for so long, and God opens up your eyes and you see it and you get delivered. That's why we need to pray. And as a church, I challenge you tonight, we need to get serious about praying that God would do something in this church. And we need to be serious. Let's ask God to do something special now. See, now and Sunday. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that, Lord, that you are present enough in your influence that even without an invitation, the people of God's heart would be soft enough to say, let's take the partnership on. Let's pray for God to do something here and something special between now and Sunday. And Lord, might you be glorified in it. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. If we ask anything in your name, you will give it. We pray it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.